Ah, fuck a doodle doo. Damn it. All I want to do is push this button right here. Oh no, I'm playing the movie too early. By the Ramones. Really, the first time that the first movie that we're going to watch tonight, Freaks, started to sneak into normal culture. Normal cult culture, wouldn't you say, Carl?
Well, it was certainly one of the best instances of it. There were other smaller instances, but that's the one that really, really broke through, was the Ramones.
Yeah. And the first movie we're going to watch is a movie that was considered so obscene, so dirty, that what did they do? What did MGM do with it when they got hold of it, Carl?
They cut it to the ribbons, for one.
Yeah, and they buried it.
Oh, yeah, they definitely buried it.
But, and then that part of the story we'll get into. And go to the Criterion Collection for the best-looking copy of Todd Browning's Freaks. And get it there at 000. Okay, we're going to spend about okay, pause it now until you get the movie ready. Thank you, and welcome back. Right, Carl? Welcome back, everybody.
Absolutely. Are y'all ready?
Yeah. Yavi said, and here we go in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Right. That's the Criterion.
And why is this in the Criterion?
Circle.
Because and two other Todd Brownies is coming out at the end of the month.
And Metro Golden Air.
The other one. Yeah. Isn't it right? They got Lanka's. And I love this right here, Carl. You see this, you see all of the actors, and then you start to hear this, and then out of the blue, five, boom! He ripped up the poster, and he still has it right there when he threw it back. How's that for a transition into this movie, Carl?
That's absolutely fantastic.
And what he's saying right now is called a carny spiel. Right, Carl?
Right, that's a carny spiel, absolutely.
Where they would sell you shit and make you think you're going to see the most exotic, wildest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you first run into this, Carl? I ran into it on cable.
I actually ran into this at a film school, a film class in college. It's the first place that I saw this.
And if you notice,
and of course,
you hear
Howard
that singing
had something to do
off
with
in
it
the
too.
Background? You hear
mm-hmm.
that singing
here.
Off in the background? That beautiful women's
yeah, I
voice?
Got it. Mm-hmm.
We'll get back to that. Speaking German. And there is Olga. That's not her name. And there's Harry
Olga
Earl.
Baklanova. And there's Harry
yeah,
Earl
and
Daisy Earl.
Yeah, and how are they related? Are they husband and wife?
No, they're brother and sister.
Brother and sister. I love it. I only have eyes for one woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's every man that get busted, ain't it?
Yep. We all think with our little heads.
Yeah. Fräulein Freda. And that's Harry Earl, who one worked with Todd Browning, our director, in the circus. And in The Unholy Three, and this one, which he got the original story of Cod Robin's spurs and brought it to Browning.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember who was supposed to originally star in this as Frollo?
Was that supposed to be Cheney?
Yeah. But then he got sick.
We're talking Lon Chaney Sr., by the way.
Yeah. This. Talk about castrating a guy.
Oh, absolutely.
You mother. I love the way his face turns so nice, then all of a sudden, midnight. If you're a horror fan, you might not get this as much as those of us who are unique individuals would get it.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing about this movie. it's about difference in how people look at different people. And of course, Todd Browning worked in the circus. So all these circus people you're going to see, he loves, and you can tell there's a great sense of respect the way that he treats them.
Yeah.
And it's the
let me put it in the way that I put it with you, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
You see Jodo the dog face boy. You see the bearded lady. You see the pinhead. Todd Browning sees Joe. Ronald. Jane.
Yeah, exactly.
I've actually seen a print, Carl, where this was the very first opening scene, not the scene with Olga and Hans.
Right. Well, over the years, there have been so many cuts to this in so many ways that they cut it and ruined it.
There's Prince Caspian the Pimp.
Prince Randian, actually, isn't it?
Prince Radian's a
mm-hmm.
pimp.
Right.
And why would I call him a pimp? He had two, by the time he died, he had two wives and about eight children.
And by the way, the one that's dancing around is Angelo Rosito.
Rosito. And next week, is Vicky going to be talking about Angelo Rosito, any?
Yeah. Yes, she is.
And there's good old Shotzi right there, next to Angelo.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Shotzi was one of the first things of transgender, as in He pretended to be a female for Monet.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can see the maleness. And
yeah.
What comic book character, Carl, was created based on good old Shotzi?
I'm not sure.
Underground comic, 80s?
You better just tell me.
Zippy!
Oh, Zippy, of course. Okay.
Yeah. And Johnny Eck, his story is a tragedy as is. He ended up losing all the money he made in the circus by being robbed one night.
Uh-huh. But just like many, many films that are, you know, anyone who's other grabs onto, it's the humans that are the true monsters here.
Oh, I love this scene, because if you don't think about it, you don't think anything's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But homegirl here is Mackin.
Yeah.
He's Mackin on her.
Mm-hmm.
No, or is she Mackin on him?
Mm-hmm. Nah, she doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, how dare he think that, how dare does she think that he's actually good looking?
No.
I love him.
Oh, yeah.
He's really one of the kinkiest players in the movie if you really catch some of the side dialogue he has.
Oh, yeah. But in this case, you're seeing... We're definitely seeing LGBTQ representation here before it was even considered LGBTQ.
See? Listen to what he says to him. All the flowers you sent me, they were beautiful. Mm-hmm. But not as beautiful, you know.
Yep.
That. You see... There's a scene missing here where it comes out that he's rich. His parents, he's inherited of that dirty green stuff from his parents.
They might have that a little later. They might have recut it and put it in maybe the next scene, something like that.
And I love the fact that even in every cut, they don't see why she's leaving him.
Right.
Tramp in a 1930s movie?
Oh, yeah. Now, that was pretty accepted, even in the mid-30s at that point.
Did you notice she called him Rabbit right there? It's not in the caption,
yeah.
But she called him. And I wonder what that means. There's my hero right there.
Oh, I agree.
In a way, I say he represents how Todd Browning really feels about these people.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
What the fuck? give us a little history on Todd Brown. Wait, after this.
Okay.
I love it. She just moves the fuck in.
Yep, she does.
And here comes one of my favorite lines of the movies that might go over a lot of people's head. Give yourself a tumble.
Yeah.
There's just a specific line here that I love, and I hope this print has it. One thing. Oh, how do you like that, Carl?
Yep.
Drunken, fucking at the drinking ain't no fun.
No.
You're a pretty good kid. You're darn right I am. You should have caught me before my operation. Yes! Mm. I love that. You should have caught me before my operation, Carl.
Yeah. I think you might be a little ahead of me, but okay, here are the Hiltons.
Yeah, here are the Hiltons.
They actually had their own movie.
Yeah.
King for Life.
Right. And I forget the title of it. Carl might get it to us in a pinch. If not, I understand. There's a great documentary on the Hilton sisters that'll break your damn heart.
Oh, absolutely. I know the one you're talking about, too. Hold on. I might be able to find it. Give me a second. I'm working on it.
I'm marrying your sister, not you.
No. Let me find it. Sorry.
Where are you going?
Okay, that's pretty well, kid.
Well, you don't...
This microphone picks up too good sometimes. Yeah, I love it. Two scumbags hook up with each other.
Oh, absolutely.
And according to the commentary with David J. Skaw, there was a scene that's missing where she tried to put the moves on Rollo, and Rollo just looked at her with a sad, weird look on his face.
Mm-hmm.
Which might actually have to go with the whole "you should see me before my surgery" bit.
Yeah.
You could get that as into some, what is it, that one that Hemingway did? The Sun Also Rises territory.
Right.
And I'll squeeze you to death and you'll like it. No wonder she's tired of that rough stuff, eh, Carl?
Yeah.
Don't worry about the documentary. It's out there. Oh, I love that right there. There's just so many
mm-hmm.
tiny instances of that.
Yep.
You know.
Asshole. You know, in a lot of ways, okay, so this film, you know, is all about the freaks and how they're a family. And I always thought that Nightbreed or Cabal by,
Barker.
By Barker. Yeah, by Barker.
Yeah.
Definitely took from, no question.
Well, the whole fact of showing these, what you consider monstrosities, and just showing them as normal.
Yeah. And that the real monsters are the humans.
Yeah, well, you know, they're just hanging around talking blah, 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 blah. And if it wasn't there, that scene right there, a little bit, you wouldn't know where he goes to at the end of the movie.
Right.
He's a gold digger. See, look.
Mm-hmm.
Sewing clothes, hanging out laundry.
Yep.
There's one thing that's always kerfuffled me about this movie.
Okay. I love the word kerfuffle, by the way.
Why do they classify this as a horror film?
Well, it's all about the ending, my friend.
Yeah, but a film noir has the same ending, and it's not put as a frickin' horror film.
That's a horror film because what you see is horrific. Okay, and that's the thing. You got to view this from the time frame of the 30s, man.
Yeah, but you got to remember my law.
They never saw anything like this. Plus, also, you know, you're in the midst of the Great Depression, and so this was like a complete like. Shock to the system for most people that saw this at that point in time. And one of the reasons it was absolutely buried, as we said at the beginning.
It's too... Here comes a scene up there that I consider... Browning and Earls, fuck you to the code, and fuck you to MGM.
Yep.
No good shizzle motherfucking shit. It's just bad. And look, booby, half booby.
Close to booby. Close to booby. Not total booby. That would be ecstasy. That would be ecstasy.
Yeah, but still.
Now, oh yeah.
See, right there, he's doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not caption, but
no, it's not.
Boy, let's just say it has some of the seven deadly words in it. Let's see, shit, ass, fuck.
Mm-hmm. Now she's basically the good girl.
Yeah. I love this.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite seasons, one of the sweetest scenes in the movie. And I think his story is that he caught illness when he was young, and it caused him to lose all that weight, and he was never able to gain it back.
Oh, I look at that, and that pains me. I feel so much empathy toward these performers.
I don't. I just like to hang out with them. Fuck you.
No, I would hang out with them, too. I would hang out with them, too. But, you know, I mean, they're going through a shitload, man. That's not easy.
If you knew how much that my cousin Marion's brother-in-law's, who were part of the freak shows, they were like, the Hilton twins, how much money they had stashed away, you wouldn't feel so bad for them. I mean, think, they just had to work 4 months a year and save up their money, and they could retire comfortably. Look at Angelo Rosito. He got a paper stand in there and was one of the heads of the little person's union.
Yep. Of course, he was also in The Wizard of Oz, too.
Yeah.
So one of the things
that
a lot of people reacted to, like this here, Prince Randian, you know, they were disgusted by this. But you know what?
Yeah,
this is what they did.
You're missing the point.
No, but what I'm saying is that the people who were watching it were missing the point. I'm not missing the point.
No, yeah. The point is those two are just sitting around bullshitting. Good old Shotzi.
Yeah, we love Shotzi.
Shotzi pretty much retired a little bit after this movie. Money. Shotzi, Slitzy. I love that.
Yeah.
Waggling. I'm going to backhand you, boy. That's the moment I can tell that she really falls in love with him.
Yeah. It's about, you know, the thing is, these people, all these freaks, and I use that in quotation marks, notice that they really treat each other with kindness. And
use the C word, Carl. Because that's originally what, Browning wanted to title this movie.
Right, the Carnies.
Carnies.
Because
that's what they were.
Yeah.
And you always had to have a piece of ass at your carny to, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, my friend, that's one of the best shows I ever did. I was, like, mesmerized. Carl makes everybody laugh because he shows his noodle.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. The way he's acting towards her makes me think that whole "you should see me before the operation" line has
But he's the coolest. Oh, there you go.
That ain't the first time I felt like doing it. Ain't it funny how you could take that dialogue and transfer it just a little bit and it'll mean something else?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And it's how Daisy's husband reacts to this. Oh, I love that.
Oh, yeah.
You bath bitch. Another great line. It took him a while to get it, didn't it?
Yeah.
She's on the... Do you notice what they're not doing here?
Well, one thing is they're not reacting to the stutter. At all.
No. They're not acting like they're conjoined. So he's like, you have to come and see us sometime. Yeah, you have to come and see us.
Oh, I gotcha. But still, my point still holds. That, you know, the center, you know, nobody reacts to that. It's just what it is.
Yeah. And guess why 90% of the carnies were hired for this movie, Carl?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, Todd Browning knew most of them.
Yeah, and he wanted to get his friends checks.
Exactly. I mean, this is not the only movie where he talks about, you know, the carnies and the circus life. Now, that also comes out in The Unholy Three and a couple other films with his, too.
And The Unknown.
Yep. The Unknown
is
another one.
That thing with the bullet, the first of this movie, is a real throwback to The Unknown.
Mm-hmm.
With that nasty ending of Lon Chaney involving the two bulls.
And even the later film, The Devil Doll, has a prologue in the circus too.
Yeah, I love it. He said, "You're like, are you saying that I couldn't land a normal woman, you bitch?" He don't get it, does he?
No, he doesn't.
Forgive me for fucking around on you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it or not, if I heard that, I would just... I'd be like, Carl, give me your belt.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be making some whipped German. I would put, honestly, you never asked where I put this. I would put this more as a melodrama in the most extreme term of the word.
Oh, yeah, I would say that, too. But you got the ending to end up with.
Yeah, it keeps being a melodrama until it crosses into the Grand Guignol.
Right. And that it certainly does, folks. Hold your horses and strap in, because it's going to start here soon.
And to quote John Leguizamo, if you don't know what any of the terms I just said, look them up. We have Google nowadays. You see, that's one thing I've always got for Carl, is that he never talks to people like they're stupid.
No.
I love that. She just gets in his face like, bitch, you be fucking with my man, I'll be cutting you like... Well, to quote Bob Marley, this is another thing. If you are a big tree, then I'm a small axe. Yeah, waiting to cut you down, right?
Yep.
Good stuff. Isn't that the point of what she's saying to her right there?
Oh, absolutely.
You break his heart, I break your neck.
Mm-hmm.
And can you believe we're... ...37 minutes into this already, Carl?
I know. And, you know, we talk about, and we'll talk about it briefly after the movie because we got another one to go to, but you're right. This is melodrama right now. Okay?
And
but
you know that, go ahead, finish.
But when it hits, it hits like a cyclone. So the pacing right now is, you know, we're 37 minutes into it. It's only an hour and 2 minutes, so... So you can imagine what's going to happen here soon.
We're really,
you know,
starting to barrel towards the ending right now.
Oh,
but
exactly.
You know that story they told about the freak at the beginning, that a Russian general, killed herself? That was a true story about her.
Yeah.
She was a Russian immigrant who Todd Browning just got her in a movie because he liked her accent.
Mm-hmm.
And it, I knew some motherfuckers when I was down in school would show her how weak midgets are.
Yeah, really.
They'd just look at me and be like, give me a ball bat. Oh, okay, here. Let's, And this
okay,
is really one of the most, yeah, this is the most well-known and loved scene in this whole movie. And if you don't want these two motherfuckers dead after this scene, then something wrong with your ass.
Yeah.
That's cuckoo.
No.
And you know what Carl say to him? You would say,
well,
I'm not strong. Wait, let me finish. I'm not strong, but I'm not stupid either.
Yeah.
That's a magic trick there.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to figure out how to operate the sword switch.
Mm-hmm.
Aww.
Yeah.
Look at him. He's already giving her the eye. When you get the eye from Harry Earl, you know you fucked.
You better watch it off.
Oh, I love that look on his face.
Oh, yeah.
You know what that look says, don't you? Do I have holes, Doug?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact from here on in that she and the strong man don't get it.
No.
Did you just read the lips right there from that silent
yeah,
bit from that
I
girl
did.
When she's
I did.
In? She just called her dog. Oh, there it is. We accept you. We accept you. One of us. One of us.
You're a little ahead of me, by the way.
In case you're wondering, folks, yes. This is what they would do to show the normals. Right, Carl?
Right.
And she's pissing on an honor. Pissed on an honor from you like that. I would have to kill them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look at the look on her face.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the only really sad part of the movie. None of the carnies got paid the royalties that was in their contracts on the studio.
No, it was not only that. Most of them weren't allowed on the studio lot. They had a special tent.
Well,
And they weren't allowed on a lot because they would scare people. Seriously. MGM didn't treat them well at all. And that's also true of when we got into Wizard of Oz, too. But that's a whole different story.
Oh, shit. Look at all their faces.
Well, they know.
Motherfucker. She don't realize what's going to happen to her.
No, they don't.
D-Y-A. Or as the kids say nowadays, this is a case from here on of screw around and you find out.
Yeah.
Oh. And I didn't finish it earlier, but I have a rule. And I told Carl before, the amount of revenge has to be equal to the damage done to the other person.
Right.
And I think it's even me. This one's pretty much even Stevens.
Well, they are trying to kill him. I forget that.
Yeah, even if they wasn't trying to kill him after carrying him out like that, you know, oh, fuck it, kill him. Kill him, motherfucker. That's like the cherry on the top of the ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
See, I love this. I can honestly say I fell in love with this from the first time I watched it.
Oh, I agree. Totally agree.
Just based on the sheer acting goodness from everybody. This movie is the equal of if they tried to put out Pink Flamingos and El Topo in the 60s, early 60s.
Yep.
But Dwayne Asper brought all the rights to this movie and roadshowed the hell out of it and he made a shitload off of this.
Yes, he did. And Harry Earls is really good in this, especially now.
I wish that some girl would love me too. I wish. The reason the studios didn't give him a role as good as he was in his silent ones is that they were afraid that the German accent
Very true.
Would be too thick.
Yeah, that scene of Prince Randy and under the things looking, man. Yeah. It's about ready to hit the fan, trust me on this.
Ptomaine poisoning. That's when your main toe gets in your mouth and you get poison from it.
No.
Right, Carl?
No, that is not ptomaine poisoning.
Then why do they talk about my main toe then? Angela Rosillo should have gotten at least nominated for Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
I agree.
And he was in a lot of Al Adamson films too, like the trash favorite, Dracula versus Frankenstein.
Which is a trash favorite, by the way.
That's why I call it a trash favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's the only time you'll see Dracula with an afro.
Yep.
But right now we're seeing the pebbles start to go down the hill and start to gain momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that earlier shot came from, right here.
Mm-hmm.
I think even he's starting to know.
Yeah.
Ha ha, I love it! Do you see why I call it a noir? Because of those beautiful... I would say anyone who made a noir back then had to have seen this and took from the shots.
This movie tells you, basically, is don't fuck with family.
Amen. I love this.
Mhm. He knows too now.
The bottom. I mean, I love how tense this scene is. With her just being one of the most ignorant motherfuckers I've ever seen.
Absolutely. Shit's going down, kids. Just want you to know.
dare ye. I love the way his face changes.
Now, this scene coming up is what makes it a horror
sequence
film.
Yeah, and there's some stuff cut from it that we'll mention. Give me that little black bottle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to turn the sound on because the subtitles are, as we say in French, fuck. Oh, I love this. Click. He just starts cleaning his knife. I love how, don't you love how subtle it is?
Mm-hmm.
I've always loved that, you know, just pulling out the knife and then starting to clean it. And then putting out the gun. How do you say someone's fucking a goddamn word to him, Carl?
Yep.
Hello, we're getting to the good. Ha ha ha! This part is usually censored. That's the first time I hit him on the outside.
Yeah.
Come on, you ugly son of a bitch! Well, isn't that the look he had on his face?
Mm-hmm.
See, this proves one rule that we've already known throughout the years. And you know what that is, Carl?
Yeah, you don't fuck with family.
No, you don't fuck with Angelo Rosito.
Or any of these guys, actually.
After the scene is over, we'll get into a discussion of what was cut out of this scene, which is kind of erotic, isn't it?
Yes.
And in the original script and the original cut, they didn't mutilate her on purpose.
Yeah.
A lightning bolt come down and struck the tree, and she was drowning in a puddle, and there's only one way they had to save her life. Mm-hmm. Her legs and her arms were crushed. And you remember when I told you that whole la 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 that's in the background?
Right.
Well, there's a scene where Hercules runs into his trailer, puts him over a hot stove, and they... You wanna tell them what they do, Carl?
Mm-hmm.
Then go ahead. What do they do to him?
Shall we say the C word with the straight? How about castrate?
Yeah, they castrate him. What looks like shit is that MGM cut out this linking scene.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the whole thing with
longer,
the chicken woman, too.
It's a lot longer, too, where it
mm-hmm.
explains that he moved to Paris, and he's been living there for, like, 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which ending is this?
This is the happy ending.
I know there's a shorter version of it too that just shows her saying that, then it fades to the credits without him crying,
right.
Which really doesn't make it a happy ending. And that was Freaks. God, that was so good.
Oh, absolutely.
I just wish they could have found the uncut, but I guess it's lost to the things.
You're never going to see an uncut
gonna...
because of that, unfortunately. I don't think.
Yeah. What do you think of it, Carl? Now that...
Well, it's one
over.
Of the greatest films of all time, particularly of that era. And, of course, this just basically destroyed his career. You know, he had a couple other films after that. And, of course, also, you know, he died rather young.
Well, I looked after that. It wasn't that movie that destroyed his career. It was his love of the bottle.
Yeah, he was an alcoholic. There's no question about that.
Yeah. He did The Devil Doll, and then he drunk himself to death.
Yeah. And really, if you want to take a look at some of it, The Devil Doll is a wonderful film. Also, The Unholy Three. And you mentioned a couple others, too. I don't have it in front of me.
At this Halloween, and you know what I mean, get the Todd Browning box set from Criterion.
Yeah, definitely.
And here is a movie that Universal was embarrassed about back then. To the point like, well, why, Steve? I understand the carny now. Freaks. But why do you have the middle finger with the black cat? Well, to that story. Universal was horribly embarrassed by this movie. They considered it a cheap, tawdry, oversexed movie. And honestly?
It is.
Yeah, it is. The way around it.
It is. It is.
This
There's
is,
no question about it.
Yeah. This one came out during the shit sticking to the wall phase of the Universal Monster Cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and don't forget another subversive movie. Who did Dracula's Daughter?
Forget who the director was. I'd have to look that up.
But that's another Sebastian, which film that has been embraced with all of its heart by the LGBT community.
Oh, absolutely. As well as should be.
Yeah. But yeah, we're going to do now, we're going to watch The Black Cat by one of the unsigned of the 30s. Someone that just didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, and
well,
he directed well into the 60s.
Yeah.
You know, and he started in the 30s. We're talking about Edward G. Olmer. And,
sure.
Just a great director.
Yeah. Most of you film geeks would know Olmer for just one film.
Well, actually,
and it is
one
hell of a film.
Well, two, because we're watching one of the ones they should know Homer about.
I
but
know,
the other one you're
only
talking
one that people would definitely know Homer from.
And you're talking Detour, right?
Yeah, Detour.
You did a lot more than that, kids. The Man from Planet
X.
Oh, God, X, yeah. Benny the Dip. Some really interesting late 50s and early 60s.
Daughter of Dr. Jekyll.
Mm-hmm. He did The Amazing Transparent Man, Beyond the Time Barrier, Journey Beneath the Desert. I mean, just wonderful, wonderful director. And did it for what they call the Poverty Row. Monogram and that. But I'm just
Monogram, Sam, yeah, we'll get into the good old Sam K when we get into the movies.
Oh, by the way, he even did some short of the black theme films like Moon Over Harlem. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yep.
But before we get that, yeah, of all of the do you think if they'd gotten the deleted footage, just as a last word, from Freaks, it really would have helped his box office chances, or do you think that film was pretty much cursed from the get-go?
Well, I think it was cursed in the sense of when it was released and what the audience were expecting. I don't think the lost footage would have helped it because people basically recoiled in horror because
yeah,
they weren't used to seeing those type of things on screen, and it horrified them. And, of course, that was not Browning's intent. He wanted them to be accepted.
Well, that pissed off
he
Browning to no end.
Well, without a doubt. And it basically caused them to drink more, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. And I do love it spends 90% of the film just showing them sitting around bullshitting and just as normal people.
Yeah. And that was the intent. That was the intent. But you know what? People, to this day, people don't accept handicapped people or people who are different, who you can see their deformities. I mean, take a look at the person who used to be president and some of the shit that came out this past couple weeks.
Yeah, if I had a dollar for, well, you don't look disabled, I feel like getting a piece of paper and said, okay, what the fuck should I look like?
Yeah, exactly. I've said the same thing, actually. You and I are in the same boat that way.
But yeah, this one is a great creepy little movie that came in on the last batch of Universal titles to hit VHS. And do you remember what that last batch included, Carl?
Well, that would be Island of Lost Souls, right? Was part of that.
I don't think they ever released that, but the ones I'm talking about is, let's see, Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Okay, that's in the 50s.
I'm talking about on VHS in the 80s.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind. Okay, I don't know VHS, so you'll have to
Yeah, they did. Well, here, just tell me if you saw this, the films they thought was like, these films we can just throw out. Let's see. The Creature from the Black Lagoon. The two follow-ups to The Invisible Man. The Fly. Wait, no, it ain't Universal. Let's see. This one, The Black Cat. And some little film that Vicky might like, but I don't think nobody knows.
Oh, which one is that?
The Incredible Shrinking Man.
Oh, I love that movie. Jack Arnold.
Yeah.
Fucking rolls.
And they decided to release that, to hold that to their last batch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, why? And we wouldn't even have a good copy of The Incredible Shrinking Man if Criterion didn't go, oh, fuck this shit, give me that movie.
Yeah, seriously.
But yeah, we're about to get into The Black Cat, so pause it, get to the OOO, get your snacks or whatever, or if you got to rest until tomorrow, well, if you're watching it on a good audio server, you can wait.
Well, you know
and
what?
You are going to wait for them.
There you go. Got my snacks.
If you are going to wait till tomorrow, then we'll see you tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And now, pause it to get the film ready.
Okay.
And welcome back. Yeah. And here we go with the one, the only, Edgar D. Ulmer and El Gato Negro, or the Black Cat. Get ready for some perverse, kinky shit, people.
Yeah.
Oh, and get ready in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
There you go. Ooh, it's Universal.
The plane, Carl, the plane.
The plane, boss, the plane.
And you can tell this is during the weird era because this is before Boris Karloff was able to use Boris.
Karloff and Lugosi, man. They were...
I love
they
that.
Were
suggested by the immortal Edgar Allan Poe. Wink.
And it has nothing to do...
Story by Edgar D. Ulmer.
Yeah. Has nothing to do with Poe. Not a goddamn
and
thing.
And Karloff is Hjalmar Bolzegg.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Vitus Verdergast. David Manners is Peter Allison. Jackin Wells is Joan Allison. Lucille Lund is Karen. And Carl Kafer as them all. Whoa,
mm-hmm.
How'd you get back in time to be in that movie?
I don't know.
And I love it. We're ending in or starting in this crowded thing. Which, if you know, he's talking about World War I and all that. You can
mm-hmm.
see that as sort of a hint towards the people escaping Poland.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Orient Express. Budapest, Visegrad. The Orient Express was really the Cadillac of trains.
Mm-hmm.
Even though more people would know it nowadays from the Agatha Christie movie than itself.
Mm-hmm.
It was really the most luxurious, fanciest train ride you could take.
Mm-hmm.
And look at this. Already they're talking about fucking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, making love on your honeymoon night. Hey, I kind of chickened out at the last minute. I do.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, you got food there and I'm eating.
Yeah, so am I.
And I'm giving this part to Carl before the plot kicks in. Carl, give us the 411 on the great Edgar D. Ulmer.
Well, Edgar D. Ulmer was one of those directors that this particular film was considered too grotesque. And so the major studios basically turned their back on him. And so he decided, fuck it, I'm Hungarian, and I'm going to come into Hollywood, and I'm going to make my own goddamn movies. And that's exactly what he did. And he did a lot on his own, did a lot of Westerns and stuff, particularly for a small studio called Monogram. And the thing about Ulmer was they said, you know, you give him a certain amount of money, and he's going to give you the best product for that money you'll ever get. And that's very true. And unfortunately, what happened is over a period of time, they stopped giving him a lot of money, and they gave him just a little money, and they still got good product. But, I mean, the man, like in 1937, he did four films. And he traveled to Europe and did European films. Such a great, and he even did like medical films, like a diagnostic procedures and tuberculosis, and that he would do almost anything. And of course,
who
he got into
Carl,
exploitation.
Yeah.
Go
who
ahead.
Was it, Carl, if you know, he said that the worst thing that you can do is show the studios that you can make a movie for 10 cents.
Because they'll only give you 10 cents.
After that, they'll only give you mm-hmm. 10 cents.
Right.
See,
and that's basically
all. We already got some kinky pervin from Lugosi.
Mm-hmm.
In case you're wondering, who's the hero, Karloff or Lugosi? Neither.
Exactly.
And it really has to do with combat shock, too, or PTSD. Mm-hmm. Many men have gone there.
Not returned.
I love that. I have returned. Just I mean, you could already tell that this guy is a man on the mission.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a good way. And the reason that we're doing these two is that they have this nice little pre-code collection on Criterion this month, which I recommend that you indulge, because we already mentioned one title that's on there that you need to see.
Island of Lost Souls.
Yeah.
Still the best version of Dr. Moreau ever done, still to this day.
Yeah, but the other good one has Pam Grier in it, and it's good because it has Pam Grier.
We're talking to Twilight people, Philippine ones.
Because it has Pam Grier and Eddie Romero.
Well, yeah.
But look, this is like a battleground that they're going to this house, you know. This movie has a lot to do with war, PTSD, you know. This is Ulmer's way of showing, like, the ugliness of war. Wasn't something they were ready for back then.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, I don't think we really got into the ugliness of wars until your decade, Carl.
No.
Can you imagine
anti-war, like All Quiet on the Western Front, which was World War One, and there were all sorts of anti-war cinema.
But they were all sugar-coated, you know. I love the architecture in this place.
What's the most beautiful? He really wanted to work with the Art Deco in this.
Yeah. I wish I knew who was the architect. I want to say this was a Frank Lloyd Wright-esque house.
You would be right, but it's not Frank Lloyd Wright, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
But you're right with the era. The era's right. I was actually into Frank Lloyd Wright. The house, what is that? The House of the Woods, and then the Oak Ridge, the Oak Chapel in near Chicago.
And the house that's in, the one with Vincent Price?
Right.
House on Haunted Hill.
Haunted Hill, right. Okay, here we go. And he rises just like the preacher. That's Karloff.
And he's naked!
I think he's got pants on. No, he's got pants on. He's got pants.
Yeah, but you know, Homer's like, let's make him think he's naked.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the nicer things, that he not only pushed the envelope, he kicked that fucker off the table.
Yeah.
And if you notice that bed in the Black Cat, the exact same bed with the shadows that they used in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yep.
And if you notice, look at the way they got his hair combed.
Mm-hmm.
Flat top. Does that remind you of something?
Oh, yeah.
They gave him the look of the Frankenstein monster.
Absolutely.
Only thing is that he is more perverse than the Frankenstein monster.
Frankenstein monster, you actually felt sorry for.
Yeah, and this one, you want to stand face forward to him because you'd be afraid of being... I mean, Karloff is, you could just tell by these scenes who is the better actor of Lugosi and Karloff. Sorry.
Yeah, but Lugosi does a really good job in this, though.
Yeah, he does a good job, but Karloff vanishes into the roles. Originally, Ulmer wanted to keep this speech right here as part of the ending.
Yes.
To Kurgal.
I actually think he's doing a great job here.
Oh, God, yeah. God damn. I mean, God damn. I'm not here to kill you, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to kill your soul. Slowly. And originally this scene took place, and there's stills of it, around a chess table. And they're playing chess,
nice.
Which it shows the chessboard later. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's really the metaphor between these two, is they are playing a chess game between each other.
Yep.
These guys are just unlucky to be there.
Yeah.
It may well be the atmosphere of death. God bless
Omar. One thing about the city I always liked is that both Lugosi and Karloff are not overplaying at all. They're not.
No.
They're underplaying, and that's refreshing, particularly with Lugosi. I think there's no question. I think this is his best role, without a doubt.
There's the guy. Sorry, folks. I love they're ignoring his ass.
Yeah.
looking at another Fordham. Oh, shit. Here is the moment you know this movie's going to be fucked up. Bonk. Wow. Dead cat. You're just like, whoa, holy shit.
Yep. Basically, if I saw that, I would get the fuck out of that house immediately.
Yeah, you see that window back there?
Well, but in an extreme form, he has an intense and all-consuming horror.
I know a lot of guys are afraid of pussy, and I'm not talking about gay ones either.
Yeah.
Yes, I would say that's on purpose because it's... Holy shit!
Yep.
There's no metaphor there.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
not
taking
even close.
My manly privileges. I'm going to fuck her tonight. How did this movie get past the censors? I've never really heard of this being cut. What?
It's pre-code.
Yeah.
So you see they're in the same bed. By the way, too loud. Here you go.
I emphasize the extreme importance of
I've got it down to like 10. I don't know what the hell you're hearing. But good. With the way she's walking, this is when we start to getting into the N-word. Right, Carl?
N-word?
Necro. Necrophilia.
Okay.
Baloney? Perhaps not. There are many things under the sun, Carl.
<You're right.
laughs> Thank you. See, even Boris, when I said that, backed me up. Fuck you, don't even say that was coincidence, I think. Right?
Right.
You know what they say, Carl? Some books said that the caper is the living representation of evil on earth. And what person Jimmy Page loved character was based on?
Yeah, not sure.
Don't you remember he was big in this era, the Satanist? You could put like a capital T-H-E. Aleister Crowley.
All right.
If you're enjoying this so far, really get films. You're going to have a lot of fun. Freaking bleak.
Yeah.
Well, this ain't exactly a happy film either.
No.
did Elmer ever make any happy films?
Oh, yeah. He did.
And that's another complaint they had about him. Your shit is too dark.
Well, his shit was basically dark, but he also did some things that, like his race films were happy. He did a musical.
Oh, yeah, he
even.
Did a couple of the after, what was it, After Moonlight or After Dark?
Yeah, I think it's After Moonlight. I have to really check.
But what those were for was for black theaters, so blacks could go and see artists and the theaters where they were allowed to clean up white people's shit and sing for them and dance, but they couldn't just walk in and watch a show.
Yeah, some of his films like that were Jive Junction and Minstrel Man. He must have did a really good version of Bluebeard that people forget. A hell of a lot better than the Richard Burton version.
What do you think, Carl? Would you hire him to make a nice, comfy, cozy, insane asylum?
Yeah, I think I would. By the way, really nice
in the wintertime. What?
That was a really nice cut where he takes the coat and then the film blacks out and he's back in bed.
I'm sorry, but in the winter, that coat would get, that blankie would give me a hard on if it got really, really cold.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's another example of necrophilia.
Mm-hmm.
Omar was just going to dispel it, wasn't even going to dance around it.
No.
But Universal was like, nope, 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 nope. What's wrong? Dead people need fucking too. This scene would have been a lot better if he had a pet rooster.
By the way, notice something here, and I want to bring this out.
Okay.
Notice throughout the whole film, there hasn't been one moment where there hasn't been a score. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's a very unusual, even with the dialogue and that, the music's always behind it.
Yeah. Like I said, the chess game continues.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. Oh, yeah.
If I was him, I'd have to change my underwears.
Yeah.
The first place I've seen this was way back in the day when the Sci-Fi Channel first showed up, and it was supposed to be part horror, part sci-fi. And their first Halloween, they showed every freaking one of Universal films. So I got to see the big guns, the little guns, Tarantula.
Oh.
I pretty much almost had a complete collection if people hadn't had to take the goddamn TV so they were recorded by the VCR. But this is one I was like going full Gollum on to make sure that I got this on tape. But how do you like that? He built the house on his...
The angles. Look at the angles of how he's shooting it and the Now,
yeah,
take
he's
a look
even
at the shadows.
Shooting
That's
it.
Really important at this point.
Yeah, he's really shooting it like, what is it you called it? The brand of architecture?
Art Deco.
Yeah, he's even shooting the angles at Art Deco.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, a lot of this comes from German Expressionism, and that, of course, was a big influence on Ulmer.
Yeah. The guns are gone, but the charts are still here.
Mm-hmm.
And that white chart doesn't have anything to do with the story until the climax. And the reason this one doesn't have the reputation that the other ones do is that this film had a follow-up. And Carl
okay.
don't like to admit it exists, which is Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi in The Raven.
I don't like The Raven.
Yeah, but compared to how subtle and kinky and weird this film, that film is so over the top that it goes over the top, then jumps back down again, and then goes over the fucking top again.
I know. It was The Raven is much more of a comedy. Not like Comedy of Terrors, but still.
You notice there's no comic relief in the movie. There's no happiness or any kind of joy in this movie.
Looking with the black cat.
That's because Universal was like, we're naming the movie the black cat. What the hell? We got a third. Hello? Hello there.
Hello.
You're on the air, so say something.
Hello?
I thought this was... Hello?
Yeah. Yes, who is this? Okay, that was weird.
Yeah, that was weird.
We should put a game of death.
A game of death.
But the problem is that they never get to have this game of death because Karloff's character thinks with his pee-pee.
Mm-hmm.
I just looked up all of a sudden and there was a third person there. That was weird.
Mm-hmm.
If you are listening third person, call right back in.
Well, probably someone had a wrong number or something like that.
Well, it was 1-573-344-4871.
Mm-hmm. Not one of my people, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Sleep. Oh, my God. Carl.
What?
Did you notice how he moved his hand?
Yeah.
What other movie did they have them do that exact same movement?
I can't think right now.
Dark City.
Oh, okay.
You know, that whole with the, that whole sleep thing. Okay, boys and girls, there's only 10 minutes there, so hopefully you're watching and listening to this later. time we have left on the movie. We have 32 minutes left on the movie.
In the night,
thank
in
you
the
all.
Dark, at the moon, the high priest
assembles
his disciples
the dark
for
of the moon.
Disciples.
The high priest assembles his disciples for the sacrifice. The children
I just said that.
Is dark and white. And then the caper is stabbed in the eye 22 times, and everything is good. And then we sit around amazed that he has 21 times. Hey, okay, here we go.
Hello?
Welcome back.
Oh, hey, sorry, I didn't know I had the show. Heard y'all talking about some interest in movies and stuff, and I had recently watched a kind of an odd movie. I was wondering if y'all might have seen.
Go ahead.
Have you seen Terrifier?
Is that the one with Bart the Clown?
Yeah, it sure is.
Oh, boy.
Well, you don't like it?
I like the short film, All Hallows Eve version of him, better than the plotless movies.
Well, I'll admit the second one wasn't very good. I sort of liked the first one. Was the short very much better? Should I check that out?
Yeah, All Hallows Eve. I am Steve, and with me is Carl, and we're watching Edgar D. Ulmer's The Black Cat, which is just... It's kinky, it's Terrifier. Because how many 1930s horror film are you going to deal with necrophilia, murder, S&M,
witchcraft?
Sounds right up my alley. Sounds like all the good things for a horror film.
Yeah.
And it's Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff.
Yeah, Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff. We didn't get
so it's an older movie
this
then.
Film, when it came out, Universal hated this film so much and chewed out Ulmer that he basically gave the major studios the middle finger and started going to little things like Monogram so he can make the films he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it seems to me a lot of the good horror films these days are indie movies or independent kind of films anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense.
Yeah. In 3 weeks, if you're in New York, what festival's coming up in pretty soon?
Well, New York, we got the Chaka Go-Go Festival, which is at the... Film Noir Theater in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, from October 18th to October 22nd. And we're going to have people like Scooter McRae, who did Shatter Dead. We've got Larry Fessenden. You know who else is going to be there? Frank Henenlotter is going to be there. I didn't tell you that, Stephen.
Yeah, you did.
And Lloyd Kaufman of Trauma is going to be there, and it's going to be a great 5 days. No question. It's going to be really good, and I'm going to a couple of those.
Oh, goodness. I wish I was in that area. Y'all can probably tell from my voice that I'm from the South, but I wish y'all a
South
good time.
What part of the South are you from?
I'm in Northeast Arkansas.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah.
And right now was the first time, Carl, that they showed the chessboard on this movie, which really gets into what Lugosi... The thing is, this is to our new guy. What happened was is that Karloff sold all of the soldiers that was in Lugosi's unit out, and they all either got killed or went to military prison for 15 years and built a house on the place where all of the soldiers were massacred.
And this is a scene you would not see after the Hays Code. Two people in bed. In the same bed. Like that.
And
you
a near
see
movie.
That.
pretty near a boobie.
And near boobies.
And, well, I'm from Tennessee, and we have the Knoxville Horror Fest going on all month with just showing horror films all month. We got vampire films, Halloween on Halloween.
Yeah, I've heard
just
of that
a little
one.
Bit of everything. But if you like 90s horror films and stuff like that, go to Criterion. They got a great 90s collection up there. They got a great pre-code horror collection up there. They got a great art house. I don't know where I would put the Black Cat. I think I put it in both art house and pre-code. Wouldn't you, Carl?
Oh, no, this is pre-code. This is definitely pre-code.
Yeah, but the
now,
way
what was
the
name
house
of that
is
you said?
And all that. What? The
what was the
what,
name of that
sir?
You said for the 90s horror movies?
It's Criterion.
CriterionChannel.com. Streaming.
Criterion? Okay.
Yeah.
C-R-I-T-E-R-I-O-N.
Is that just .com or?
Criterion
yeah.
Channel.
Channel.
CriterionChannel.com.
CriterionChannel.com. All right. Well, I've been looking for some good stuff to show the family for Halloween, you know, when all this Halloween time going on. That sounds really good.
All right.
You want that hat, Carl, with the feather hanging off of it and stuff?
This is the one scene that's somewhat comic in the whole movie. They always have
yeah.
to have one scene.
Do entirely to the train.
Well, may I have your names?
This came at the end of the Universal cycle when they were just trying to guess what to do. They had the Ghosty, they had Karloff, but they didn't know what to do with them. And Edgar J. Ulmer just wanted those to be like, yeah, I'm going to make some kinky, weird films.
Well, hell, that sounds good. I'm on this Criterion website right now. Is there anything y'all suggest?
Just look through the 90s and see what you like. I mean, Ravenous, if you haven't seen it. Tales from the Crypt, and it's Demon Night. Pretty much almost all of the 90s collection. Right, Carl?
Yeah, I would say that. And I'd say all the pre-code, too.
Yeah, all the pre-code, too.
Okay, well, I'll check it out. I appreciate you guys.
All right, man.
Well, we appreciate you, too.
Absolutely.
All right, well, y'all have a good night. I'll call in again.
All right. Thanks a lot, man.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome.
I don't think that's ever happened in a commentary watch with us.
No, but, hey, and I want mm-hmm. that chess set, Carl. Mm-hmm. Look at it. How
I love
freaking
that chess set.
Yeah.
I have a good friend that I play chess with over the computer.
Yeah.
I used to be pretty good back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, I just love how they've made some gorgeous sets. I love this. If you notice, they're in black and white. There's his color, well, Lugosi's colors, which is gray.
Mm-hmm.
And there's white. I love this, that he's, him and his wife is in a matter of a death duel, and they're just blissfully, la-da-dee, la-da-dee, la-da-da. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, Mr. Allison.
And may I use your telephone? I'll telephone the hotel and Peter Gardner has to send a car.
Karloff with those little looks.
Yeah.
Of course, the phone doesn't work. I wonder why.
Yeah. What seems to be a gothic tale in this 40s or 50s architecture.
Mm-hmm.
Even the smoking jacket.
It's more 20s and 30s, not 30s and 40s. And again,
I mentioned the
angles and everything that he's shooting with, particularly the shadows. And I keep bringing that up for a reason.
Yeah.
Now, we need to go.
Carl?
We need to go. Yes?
The phone is dead.
I know.
I love the way you took it. Checkmate. Right now, let's see. 20 minutes. So right now, we're going to start to barrel towards the ending. It's one of those things like you know something bad is going to happen. But to what and to who? Okay, my bad. Okay, I just revised my history. Did you see what he did to him?
Yeah.
Edgar Ulmer's The Black Cat is the first U.S. film to show kung fu or martial arts in it. What the fuck, dude? Don't you know how to put a body on a bed? Stupid git falling on the bed? Or is that a me thing to really complain about that? Strangers in the night, molesting corpses, ain't it such a fright? I love my corpses. Or is that going too far in the kinky category?
No, not at all.
I love it. They don't give a fuck for those two. All they care about is their hey, what are we going to do about him? Shit. Even now, we're still playing a chess game. It's just that, you know.
Well, the audience is wondering who the fuck am I rooting for?
Who's fucking who?
Yeah.
Do 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 do. I love it.
I love how the camera works and looks like the real moves. And of course, here you got to do the staccato and fugue in D minor. Just have to.
I mean, I still don't know until why it took so long for Ulmer to really catch the eye of the cult fan.
Mm-hmm.
just that little flicker of the eye, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't big. It was just little.
I really think that Lugosi does his best work here. No question.
We should have called this night the Night of the Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And plus dealing with Satanism in the studio film. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Universal just damn.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we're headed barreling like, as I put it before, the boulder headed down the hill. It's just that Todd Browning's boulder headed down the hill is a hell of a lot different than Edgar D. Ulmer's barreling down the hill. If you notice, that's the same actress in the wig.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How the hell did that cat get in there?
The adjoining room.
Yeah, but how the hell kept getting in the adjoining room? It didn't show him going in there. Asshole cat. Here's where we get into the S&M part section of our tour.
Yep. One of the few outside shots in the whole film.
Dark of the moon, it is the night.
Great cinematography.
Yeah, Homer could do miracles with pennies.
Well, that quote that you said, you know, if you can do a movie in 10 cents, they're only going to give you 10 cents. That was about Homer. That was specifically about Homer. I know exactly where I read
it. Well, I heard it was someone, they ask, why don't you ever tell how much your low-budget movies cost? And he said, if I did, that would fuck me.
Yeah. There was a...
Let's say me and Carl made a great movie for $50,000. How much would we tell the people trying to buy it that we spent on it?
Oh,
250. No. We'd say... million.
By the way, the music you're hearing is an Ave Maria, by the way.
Ave Maria.
No, it's not that one. It's another one.
God, is this such a gorgeous scene.
I love that set design. Good God.
The set, everyone, just... Nowadays, A12 would be giving him all the money he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Fausto, ¿quién es tu pendejo?
You know what this reminds me of? did Jeannie Silver set a Latin for Clown Ada?
Cum grano salis, potes cadres cedre non potest, fructus non folis aborem est, credit
sateros,
ventim.
Ha ha ha! I love that. I mentioned that at the first time where the wall moves.
Yeah. I love how that's done. Not a word, just a glance. I love it. He just looked at him. Now. Do 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 do. And Karloff thought he won the chess game. Mm-hmm. Give me that gun, you son of a bitch! Bruce Lee ain't got shit on him. Oh, did you notice what the first three letters in Karloff's character, pull his egg, is?
No, I didn't check that.
P-O-E.
Oh, okay. Well, here we go.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And this fight scene is choreographed by Ulmer.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a little detail in there that isn't Ulmer approved. And here we go to the most fucked up part of this movie. I'm taking a nap. In case you're wondering, Karloff worked out for this scene. Are you surprised?
No.
What?
Not at all.
I mean, look at his abs there. I'm going to skin you. Ever seen an animal skinned? Going to do you now, tear the skin from your body slowly, bit by bit, And unlike most movies,
in silhouette, folks.
Dumb son of a bitch! You star. It's the red switch, isn't it, Hajima?
I love it.
It's his turn. Why do I say it's his turn? If you remember the end of Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah, absolutely.
We all belong dead. It's been a good game. Meh, meh, meh.
Notice all the music that you're listening to are old themes and songs. There was no original music made for
the
film.
And that scene of the house blowing up, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
That was stock footage of a war.
Yeah.
That's why it looks so grainy compared to the rest of the movie. Da, da, da. You know why he has that little comment in it?
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the exact quotes that Hedy had to Homer.
Yep.
And that was fuck you!
Great film.
Yeah.
Seriously, great film.
And whoever you are, Arkansas, thank you for calling in. That was a pleasant surprise.
Oh, absolutely.
But
absolutely.
Yeah, both of those are amazing freaking films, which you should see. Well, pretty much everyone has got Freaks on their radar.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no way around that. Is there, Carl?
But The Black Cat is as good a film, no question.
Yeah, but difference is that they are 1930s films, but they're films you do not want to show to your younglings.
No, true. True.
And the show from now on until after the Knoxville Horror Fest are going to be here, but they're going to be sparse because I'm going to be busy.
And same here, too, on DLN. Now, we're
yeah,
going to be busy, too.
Because I've got to get the house straight for my goddess when she comes up.
Oh, nice. Enjoy.
Oh,
seriously.
I will. But, yeah, we will promise we will do a Halloween movie. And I'm going to try to get in hold of William to track down who did to do the annual, you know, KHF show.
Okay. Yeah, be sure to tell William I said hello.
And what the hell do you have going on this weekend or this coming week over at the DL?
So the DLN we've got, which is TV and Legion Network, we've got, last Wednesday we did a Soccer Go-Go Film Festival preview with Eric Eichelberger, who is the head of that. On tomorrow, we have a spooky season commentary watch with me and Rachel, and we're going to be doing Dread 2009 film.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Are there any tickets left for the Shaka Go-Go, or is it sold out?
Oh, no, there are still tickets left. You go to www.shakagogo.com, and then that'll lead you to the tickets at the Film Noir Cinema, and you just click on one of the movies you want to watch, and it shows if you want to pay for that movie, if you want to pay for the day, or you want to pay for the whole get-go. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
They're like $40 day passes is what they are.
Yeah. Why are you doing Dread in Halloween month?
No, this is D-R-E-A-D. This is not Dread.
Is Dread. So it's Dread, Dread.
Right. And this is a film that was co-written by... Hellraiser, Clive Barker.
Oh.
So it's a Clive, okay. And then on Sunday, we have Rocktober Part 1, which Rock This Town Radio with TC. On Monday, we have Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome commentary watch with Miss Vicky Love. Going to be doing that. On Tuesday,
well, we've already promoted the hell out of that tonight when Angelo Rosito showed up on...
absolutely we did.
The Freaks, yeah.
Yep. And then on Tuesday the 10th, we are doing a special director, Charles D. Lincoln, Bishop's Cove, who's going to be at the Shaka Go-Go Festival. And also, he is the son of Fred J. Lincoln, who is an absolute god in sexploitation. Then on Thursday, we have Victor Bonacore, the director of Thrust, which is also going to be on the Shaka Go-Go Festival.
Thrust?
So I'm busy this week.
Thrust. Spell it.
T-H-R-U-S-T. Thrust.
Yeah, Thrust. I know what second and third sequels to it are going to be.
Okay, talk to me.
The second one's going to be Withdrawal, and the third one's going to be Repeat.
Okay. So that's what
Think
we got
about
going
it,
on
Carl.
The CLN. Yeah, I got it.
And, KHF, well, the Central Cinema tickets are gone. But tickets to the first night at the Bijou Theater, which is a gorgeous Brooklyn place, are still open. And for Saturday night at the drive-in, where the one and only Fred Decker will be creeping around and talking about his movies, Night of the Creeps and Monster Squad.
I tell you, I am absolutely envious of you. I love those two films, and I love Fred Decker. Seriously.
Yeah. I'm going to be on my best behavior because I don't want Fred Decker to sneak up behind me and, I have the fear of, I heard what you said. You're talking about my movies? Oh, God! But thank you all for listening, and we shall return. And happy Halloween month, everybody.
Absolutely, and thanks for having me, Steve. Appreciate it, man.
Okay, bye.
Good night.
Good night.